Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, Andre. Uh-oh. Let's get the party started, man.
Wake up, Andre.
You wake up. You wake up. Here we go.
Talking sports with the 12th man is here.
12th man. You gotta jump to radio.
Your time is up. My time is now. You can't see me. My time is now. It's a fair time. I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th man. It is Tuesday, January the 29th, and once again, we are your two sports experts. You like how you just called us experts, Rob? You like how I just did that? Anyway.
Oh, yeah, man. We might have to pull out the yin-yang twins again, man, for that opening. What you think about that, Doc?
We'll do it at some point. I haven't told you want to do that because of some New Orleans stuff. But that's all right, man. I'll do that as well. But anyway, we are in a Super Bowl week, as mentioned. You are now talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. And as always, I got to set the stage. Check in with Mr. Ford. How are you doing on this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. I'm just ready to get this party started, man. Super Bowl week is here.
It is finally here. We're excited about that. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about on this here episode. As always, I'm going to throw out some couple numbers for you guys to follow us on the good stuff, to call in. The show number, it is 424-243-9519. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our actual handle is at the number 12, THMAN Sports, 12th Man Sports. And also you can follow us on Facebook at 12th Man Sports as well. So facebook.com/ 12th Man Sports. We have a lot of ways to follow us. And let's go ahead and jump into our good topics, Rob. And first and foremost, we got to talk about some Super Bowl talk with Mr. Ray Lewis, front and center at Media Day. He actually had to get rid of some rumors that he's been using a banned deer spray substance. So, Rob, let's go ahead and get this
started.
Wow. Pretty interesting. You know,
I didn't know deer spray could have that kind of impact on somebody.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting. I was looking this up before the show. I guess, you know, obviously the deer antlers, they actually grow and stuff like that. So, they actually, that spray contains a substance which is called IGF-1, which is actually a banned substance by the NFL. But
yes.
Apparently he was doing all this crazy stuff to try to get that torn tricep healed. And, Rob, I'm actually going to say, as weird as it sounds, I think it's kind of cool because it actually helped him heal faster. I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing or bad thing, you know, but I think it's, you know, he's actually playing. So got to give him some credit in that regard.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I hope he's innocent with this charge. I really do. And, you know, I'm definitely the type of person that believes you're innocent until proven guilty. He has not failed any drug tests. And so we want to definitely get that out there. And so definitely, you know, I'm definitely hope that this is not true, obviously. And I know, you know, we're in such a society now in sports where you have a lot of people using performance-enhancing drugs, and they're actually several maskings that you can even do to hide them, from preventing them from showing up on tests as well. And so, you know, I know a lot of players, football, baseball, and now, of course, cycling, you know, these people wear these maskings out there that you can take to hide the performance-enhancing drugs in your system. So, like I said, you know, he's innocent or proven guilty, and I hope that he is innocent. And, you know, even though I'm rooting for the 49ers this weekend to win, you know, I still, you know, hope that he's innocent. This does not tarnish his career. I will say, and, you know, I will say this, and, you know, I don't know if you recall, when his torn triceps injury first came out, you know, the Ravens were prepared to put him on IR, and it looked like he was going to be done for the season. And typically that is the kind of injury at that point in the season he would have been done. He told the Ravens not to put him on IR. He'll be back for the playoffs. And he did heal pretty quickly. So I know some people are going to be a little suspicious, you know, if they think about it from that aspect. But once again, innocent until proven guilty, and let's all hope that he is innocent.
I don't know about what's wrong with Ray Lewis and Super Bowls, man. It just doesn't seem to be a good combination right now. But we'll see how he plays out. That's a bad little slight there. But You know, yeah, I agree with you. You hope that it is he's innocent until proven guilty. And I'm sure if you're the NFL, you're not checking for deer spray, man. It's just one of the situations. It's not one of those first
it's very
top
weird.
Of mind. You know? Yeah, so like, really? So now we got to start checking for this. And, you know, who knows what other things that some players may be trying to pull out. But, you know, it's one of those situations where it could be undetectable. Or like I said, if you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it. So some people say you're not cheating if you're not trying, I guess. But, you know, any advantage that you can have, I'm sure you're going to try to reach out and do that. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. As you mentioned earlier, we hope that he is innocent until proven guilty with that. So Mr. Ray Lewis is definitely an extra motivation for him. Let's stay on that side of the football with the Ravens. And another comment that was pretty interesting made by Bernard Pollard, basically saying that the NFL will be out of business in 30 years. And this is a pretty controversial statement, Rob. And I guess because Mr. Pollard was pretty upset with the way that the NFL is pretty much cracking down on all the hits that they're having. And this is a pretty heated subject. So what do you think about this, Rob?
Well, I think Bernard Pollard was probably making that comment out of frustration from the fines and the hits. You know, and I will say, you know, sometimes these helmet-to-helmet hits are not – I think a lot of them are unintentional. And I think a lot of times what you'll see is an offensive player will all of a sudden, you know, lower their head, and then all of a sudden the defensive player is already in a position to make a tackle, and then you have that helmet-to-helmet contact. And it's a lot of those hits, in my opinion, do not warrant a penalty. Some of them do. I will say some mm-hmm. of them can be a little rough. But, you know, I think at sometimes we got to realize this is football. And, you know, I think the way sometimes the game is officiated and the way the dictator handles the game, we almost ought to put skirts on the offensive players. And, you know, let them run around like little girls if they're going to be calling flags on some of these plays. And so, you know, and I think, you know, basically what Bernard Pollard is saying, you know, they keep eliminating different things from the game. I think it's going to lose – the fans are going to lose interest. And I think we're a long way from that. You know, football is America's number one sport. And of course, you know, people are tuning in droves. And as you're going to see with this weekend's Super Bowl. So I think we're a long way from that. And, you know, President Obama made the comment, you know, he would, if he had a son, he would not allow him to play football. And I think as parents, you know, you have to think twice now. And not even so much with the body, but so much of the brain now, so many of the concussions and things of that nature. You know, if you're going to walk around for a limp for the rest of your life, but if you don't have your brain, you know, that's that can be a little scary. So that is the scary aspect of football. I mean, the players are getting bigger and faster every year. And but I still think, you know, we're a long way away to, you know, for football not being around.
So you have a son, Rob. I mean, would you consider playing him football? I mean, I know it's very, very early, but is that something that you'd be concerned about?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. And I think, you know, I was actually putting him in football actually about a year and a half ago or so, and it didn't work out. He actually not, you know, we didn't put him in football. But, you know, if you kind of look back on it, you know, it could have been a, you know, pretty good decision. And, you know, but if he has a desire to play, I wouldn't prevent him from playing. Let's just say that. But
gotcha.
I will probably gear him more into the quarterback position.
Gotcha. Yeah. And that's the thing, too, obviously. And that's the thing that amazes me, because all the technology that we have, there's still nothing like it. It's a violent game. We know this. And you sign up for this game. But the second piece, with all the technology we have, we think we can do you know, different things to make the players safer. Maybe it's going back to more fundamentals. I know some players, are especially defensive players, they're known for trying to, like, spearhead guys and just kind of have that big knockout hit. And, you know, maybe you should go back to more fundamentals and solid tackling and you know, having, you know, better mouthpieces and some things like that, because the way the game started and the way that it's advancing, it is America. It's one of America's, you know, greatest sports to watch, obviously. So we want to just make sure the players are protected and this game is going to stay you know, as it is, and keep that integrity up too. So,
yeah,
it's
but that is
pretty,
one
pretty
area where I will give the dictator some credit. You know, if they're trying to get back to the little leagues and teaching techniques with tackling. You see this mm-hmm. way too often, even still on a pro level. guys are still tackling with their head down instead of their head up. And not only can that cause, you know, serious head injuries, but it also can cause spinal injuries, which is, you know, really scary. And so we got to get back, and you see it on a pro level, you see it on a college level, and you would think by that point of their stage in playing football that they will have the technique down of tackling. And way too often you see guys tackling with their head down instead of their head up. You want to lean in with your shoulders, not your head. You want to keep that head up when you're making tackles.
Keep the head up, keep those legs moving, and wrap up. I mean, no more of these.
That's exactly right.
Unbelievable. All right, this is it. So we are ready. Are you guys ready out there? Radio Land, we are going to make our Super Bowl predictions. Here we go, Rob. The game is on Sunday, February the 2nd. What you got, sir? Who are you predicting to win Super Bowl 47?
As I said, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners in the Bay Area. You know, we love you guys out there in the San Francisco area. You know, keep tuning in to us. Keep writing us. And, you know, I know we have a lot of fans out in that area. And I'm pulling for the 49ers this weekend. But something just tells me Ray Lewis will not allow the Ravens to lose. You know, tremendous leader. And like I said, I would like to see the 49ers win with Colin Kaepernick. You know, could be only the second black quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl after Doug Williams. So, you know, that would be, you know, very intriguing for me to see. But I just don't think Ray Lewis will allow the Ravens to lose this game. I think he's going to have that team fired up, ready to play. And the Ravens got a couple of homeboys on the team playing in their hometown, Ed Reed and Jacoby Jones. So that should be interesting. I'm going with the Ravens 27-24.
That is good news for 49er fans because every time Rob picks your team, the other team ends up winning. So I'm going all in.
That's not true.
49ers.
That's not true, America.
I'm going all in with the 49ers.
If that's the case, I'm going to pick against Atlanta every game next year.
Oh, here you go.
No, I'm going to pick Atlanta every game next year.
You know what? You know what? Why don't you just, you know, just keep the just be quiet for a quick second here, man. There's so much to know about. Real quick, I'm going 49ers all in. I like the focus that they have right now. Colin Kaepernick, he's got a lot of confidence. He's trademarking moves. This is a team of destiny. I think they know that they're 5-0. They're going to keep that streak going and make it 6-0, and it's going to be a big win. So that's my prediction. I'm actually going to say it is going to be I'm going to say 28-17 is my that's my.
All right, that's a pretty sizable victory there. I hope you're right. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I would love to see the 49ers win this game. So I definitely hope that you are correct and that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm going against Ray Lewis. Ray Deer Antler Lewis right now, so we'll see how it plays out. And
don't accuse him of anything yet. He's innocent until proven guilty.
He is innocent until proven guilty. I'm just messing around as always. All right, for those who want to call in, tell us what you think. Are we crazy? Are we nuts? We got to post this, Rob, on our Facebook page as well. But the number to call in the show, it's 424-243-9519. We've given you the Facebook page, facebook.com/12thmansports, and also our Twitter handle at number 12 Man Sports as well. All right, Super Bowl has a way of, I know sometimes a lot of interesting questions get asked and a lot of statements, and there's been something that's pretty interesting, Rob, I want to remind you. Hold on, here we go, I got something for you. Did you hear that?
No.
Hold on, here we go, one more time. Did you hear a straight cash, homie? Did you hear that coming through?
No, I'm not hearing it. I don't think I'm listening to hearing it either.
That's okay.
But we all get the effect. Straight cash, homie. Randy Moss.
Randy Moss says he is the greatest receiver of all time. And the question that was posed, is he? I don't know what if Randy Moss got some of sniffing some of Ray Lewis's stuff, but he is definitely not the greatest receiver of all time. Now, even though he's playing for the 49ers, yes, the greatest receiver of all time did play for the 49ers, in my opinion. There's a lot of great receivers out there. We could talk about some up-and-coming guys that may break the record, you know, the Calvin Johnsons that are up there doing their thing. But right now, I believe the record books don't lie. I mean, Jerry Rice is probably, you know, no doubt the greatest receiver of all time. He holds an all-time leader. He's an all-time leader in receptions and yards and touchdown passes. He's been to the Pro Bowl like 13 times. He's got like, you know, playing for 20 seasons, he's got like 3 Super Bowl rings. I mean, this guy is the greatest receiver to ever play the game. He's a hard worker. He's the epitome of who you would say is a wide receiver. That's me.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and I couldn't have said it better either. Definitely, I totally agree. I said that to a few people today as well. Jerry Rice is definitely the greatest wide receiver of all time. And he even played at a high level until his late 30s, even after a couple of injuries as well. And so that was very impressive as well. And as you said, he's the all-time leader in receptions. He's the all-time leader in receiving touchdowns and an all-time leader in receiving yardage. Where Randy Moss ranges from 3rd to 9th in all 3 of those categories, which is very good. And
yeah,
don't get me wrong, I think Randy Moss, you can debate, is he a top 5, top 10? He's at worst a top 10 wide receiver of all time. There's no doubt about it. You know, is he a great receiver? Do I think he's a Hall of Famer? Absolutely. But the greatest of all time, we have to give that to Jerry Rice. There's no question about that. And I will say, Randy Moss, when he first came in the league, I tell you, he was almost unstoppable in a fly pattern. Teams couldn't guard him. But, you know, is he one of the greatest? Absolutely. The greatest? No.
Yeah, and like you said, and I agree with you 100%, in his prime, I think he was considered probably the most feared wide receiver because, as you mentioned, that fly pattern, it was just, he was unstoppable. He had a lot of teams that were drafting defensive backs just to figure out ways how to stop this guy. And, you know, that's the thing that's very disappointing. You have a lot of guys that have so much talent, and I don't think he was a complete receiver. You know, obviously he was good at running those fly patterns early in his career. And, you know, if he was able to, you know, run all those different routes from, you know, running some intermediate routes and different things like that. And believe it, as he got a little older, I think he started doing a little, you know, more than little things. But here's a guy that he's played for all those different teams, and unfortunately, if you were a great receiver, you would have made your mark. And I think now he kind of reflects and realizes, you know, that I should have done some things differently. But, you know, as mentioned, number one Hall of Famer for sure, and he is a great receiver, but not the greatest of all time.
Yes, absolutely. Another quick comment I'll make on this before we move to our next topic. The thing that Randy Moss has not done, Jerry Rice was a feared receiver going over the middle. You know, he was definitely precise in his route running. Whereas Randy Moss purely got by on his talents, to where Jerry Rice, you know, definitely was a guy that worked hard and, you know, kept improving on his, you know, his route running and things of that nature, staying in shape. Randy Moss, you know, got to the point where he was scared to go over the middle. And so that's definitely the difference between the two players. If you go by talent, you would think Randy Moss is the most talented of the two.
Yeah.
But Jerry Rice definitely worked on his game and proved to be the best all the time by just basically just outworking people. And we would like our listeners, if you all would kind of give us your feedback, either by calling in 424-243-9519, or hit us up on Twitter and Facebook. Give us your feedback. Is Randy Moss the best of all time? Or if not, where does he rank? On Twitter, at 12th Man Sports. And, of course, on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man.
Gotcha. We've got about 11 minutes left in the show. And let's talk about some NFL news. We're going to go around the league real quick. And a quick note about Rob Ryan, and the word on the street is that the Rams are not actually going to hire him, and this is pretty interesting because we thought this was kind of a done deal, but it looks like, according to the Rams, it's not a good fit, and I think this is kind of one of the situations where karma's coming to get Rob Ryan. He said, I'll be out of work for like 5 minutes, and unfortunately, it's been a little longer than 5 minutes, so, you know, Rob is obviously a talented defensive coordinator. A lot of the blame, I don't think, falls on his shoulders with the Cowboys. What do you think about this, Rob?
Well, you know, it kind of goes back to, you know, the Ryan guys, even going back to their dad, they have huge egos. And,
yeah.
And you know, and I think, you know, and Jeff Fisher is somewhat of a Buddy Ryan disciple as well. So you kind of thought that this could be, you know, a marriage made in heaven, but it turned out not to be. And from my understanding, Jeff Fisher was hiring a defensive coordinator just in name only. Fisher was still going to run the defense himself. And I think that's where the issue maybe came down to. To whereas Rob Ryan would not have been able to call his own defensive plays, that he would just have been a defensive coordinator name only. But Jeff Fisher was going to manage his own defense. And I think that's what the issue came down to. And that's probably where they did not agree. And they never even got to a contract just because they couldn't finalize, you know, their defensive philosophy and how they were going to handle things. So it'll be interesting to see which route they take. Rob Ryan may have some other opportunities out there as far as any teams that's looking for a 3-4 coordinator. So it should be really interesting. You know, maybe his brother will hire.
Very interesting, yeah. I mean, like I said, we'll see. The first time whenever the story was breaking, Rex said he was not going to hire his brother. I don't know if he thought that, Rob was going to get a job with the Rams, but we'll have to definitely keep that close to the vest and see what's going on, too. Obviously, the Saints got rid of their defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, and obviously you said they're looking at, Eric Mangini and Romeo Crennel. So do you think that they're going to possibly look at Rob, or are they still kind of focused on those two guys?
My thoughts are they would not take a look at Rob Ryan, and the only reason I will think that Sean Payton would not look into the Rob Ryan era is because of the so-called bounty scandal. You know, Greg Williams, these Ryan kids, they're all from the same family background, Jeff Fisher. So my thinking is Sean Payton will stay away from a guy like Rob Ryan. And I think with him being so really, tight with Bill Parcells, I think Parcells is swaying him to go with one of their guys, which is a Romeo Crennel or Eric Mangini. There is some talk that the Saints may talk to a couple of 49ers assistants right after the Super Bowl is over. So we have to wait and see if that's the case or not. But all indications based on my sources is that Romeo Crennel has been and is the leading candidate for the Saints job. And you all know when I break news about the Saints, usually something happens about a day or two later and I turn out to be true. So stay tuned on that. I would expect that Romeo Crennel will be the new defensive coordinator for the Saints.
Gotcha. Very interesting. And so another thing that's pretty interesting, too, is that I know we don't like to bring this guy up, but Mr. Greg Williams is in the news as well, possibly going to the Tennessee Titans. So that's pretty interesting. He has to be reinstated, which can happen, I guess, within the week or so or next week at some point. But that's a pretty interesting statement as well.
Well, yeah, Greg Williams has a history with Bud Adams, the owner there in Tennessee. So they know each other quite well. And so this is one of those situations where Bud knows Greg and, and of course they're willing to work with him. Greg Williams is a heck of a football coach. There's no doubt about that, this whole thing that just went down, it's still way overblown. And Greg Williams is a heck of a football coach. He's going to land back on his feet. And eventually, this too shall pass and he'll be coaching in the NFL still for a long time to come. And it'll be a great hire for the Tennessee Titans. Mike Munchak will probably use another guy like him on his staff to really help him out. Munchak is still a very young head coach in the NFL, could probably use a veteran assistant to come on his staff and help him out.
We will see this is a good move down the road. All right, let's keep it moving here. We're going to talk about another interesting conversation that Alex Smith, the backup quarterback for the 49ers, he has come out and said that he would like to be released. So the question is, what team can use him? I've got some options, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Rob. This is for the 49er Nation as well. We knew this was going to happen with the emergence of Colin. What do you think a good team that's going to actually pick up Alex Smith?
Well, the first couple of teams that come to mind for me are the Arizona Cardinals and the Kansas City Chiefs. Those are the first couple of teams that come to mind. Arizona, of course, Kevin Cobb, and it seemed like they played about 3 or 4 different quarterbacks last year. And I was taking a little sneak peek at the Pro Bowl the other night, and I think Larry Fitzgerald just having a field day playing with some good quarterbacks. He's like, wow, I hadn't seen this kind of quarterback since Kurt Warner's retired. So I think, for him, I think Alex Smith could be a good fit there. And I think possibly the Chiefs. And here's the Chiefs has the number one pick in the draft, and I think the Chiefs have to make this decision pretty quickly once free agency starts. You know, do we go out and get a guy like Alex Smith? Do we think we can coach up Matt Castle, I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Or should we use this number one pick on a quarterback, even though he probably won't be the number one player in the draft? But, you know, the teams will reach for a quarterback. So I think the Chiefs are going to have to make that decision fairly quickly. Do we go out and get a guy like Alex Smith, a proven starter? Do we try to coach up Castle? Or do we go out and get a Geno Smith with the number one pick in the draft? And so that would be an interesting decision. And I think Arizona has to do the same thing. Do we draft a guy like Mike Glennon at number 7 in the draft? Or do we go out and get a guy like Alex Smith?
I think this is a very interesting scenario, Rob, because there are some teams that if you think you're kind of one piece away, that's kind of where I think you're going to look at Alex Smith. I know we talked about it earlier, and my choice would be Christian Ponder. I can actually see him at KC too, but I'm thinking the Vikings. And the reason why I say this is because, you know, you're a couple of – you have a strong running game. You have a pretty decent defense. And, you know, Christian Ponder still, you know, he still has enough time to kind of grow, but you have to look at that window that they have. And I think that'd be a nice they're almost mirroring the 49ers, and I'm not saying that the Vikings are just there yet, but I think they have the right components. So they got the strong running game. They need somebody to manage the game, not make too many mistakes, and I think that'd be a good fit. The same thing, very similar to Kansas City, and I like where your head was at. Obviously, if you're KC, you don't want to come back with Matt Castle, and it may be tough for them to have a young quarterback. So I don't know what the time frame is. I know that Andy Reid has a couple years to kind of build that team up. They have a strong running game already. They've got Jamaal Charles there. They got a pretty solid young defense, I would agree. And maybe they're missing another explosive wide receiver, but the missing piece, maybe that quarterback. I don't know if Alex is as dynamic. Maybe something that Geno Smith could have if they draft him. But, you know, that's what I think. Arizona, that's a situation where I don't know if they want to keep trying these retread quarterbacks. So, you know, they may have to, you know, develop a young guy, see what goes on with that. But they still got to solve issues with their running game. And, you know, it's a new system, so new coach, a lot of things to think about. So, anyway, I digress. We got a lot of things going on, Rob. And we got about 2 minutes and 18 seconds left in the show, so we're getting close to our OT portion of the show. I'm going to let you set that up, Rob. You can do some fantasy shout-outs, and we'll talk about some other things from college football recruiting and some college basketball as well, sir.
Oh, we still have a lot to talk about tonight. Unfortunately, our live portion is only 30 minutes. Our OT portion is 15 minutes. But if you at work, sitting at your computer, and your lunch break or something on tomorrow, please tune in and you can catch the OT portion. We got some college football recruiting we're getting into for you recruiting buffs and college football buffs. We're going to get into that. We still have some college basketball to talk about as well. So please tune in on tomorrow. Otherwise, join us next Tuesday. We're going to recap the Super Bowl and just kind of start focusing on hoops for a few months and even some NFL mock draft as well. So join us next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. out there in California and Pacific Standard Time. And for our friends in Germany, that will be 5 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So definitely our listeners in Germany, make sure you catch that next Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Please tune in. And keep liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter.
Yeah, we thank you for all of the listeners. We really, really appreciate that. As Rob mentioned, definitely check out the archive portion of the show. We're definitely here. And like I said, we do a lot of great jobs updating stuff throughout the week. You can follow us, tell us if we're making sense, you're actually enjoying the show, give us feedback. That is what it's all about. And even if you want to talk about a particular topic, we can do so as well. I know for our boy Roe, we didn't really have some time to delve into the Lakers. They're actually playing pretty interesting. They've won a couple of games here, but it's still not over yet. We're not convinced, but we're going to keep it going. In the OT portion, we have a lot of fun things to talk about. So see you guys next week, and have a great weekend. Enjoy all those wings, Super Bowl. It's going to be big. We're looking forward to recapping that next week. Anything else you want to say, Rob?
Congrats to Anthony Davis, the new number 23 in our fantasy basketball league. He's holding on the first place spot. So congrats to Ronald right now. and holding out first place in our fantasy basketball. Good night, world. Join us next Tuesday. Catch us on OT. Good night, people.
Good night, people. All right, let's talk about some college basketball. We're going to jump into that and football. But the question that we have, who is the real number one? Is that Michigan or Kansas? And, Rob, if you give me the opportunity, I'd like to actually sound off and go first. It's been 20 years since the Fab Five have made their stake, and they were actually number one as well. So I think, in my mind, I think Michigan actually holds that number one seed. They should still be number one. Reason being, obviously, the play of their great guards, Trey Burke and Tim Hardaway Jr., I'm very impressed with them. I think they have a lot of balanced scoring on their team. Kansas, they're kind of like that pretty girl. They just keep teasing you. They have a lot of talent, but no apologies and some apologies to my guys out there that are enjoying that. But I think Michigan is the clear cut number one at this time.
Well, I would agree with you, and I have to give you some credit. We briefly talked about Michigan or Duke on our show last week in our OT portion. You called out Michigan. And I would have to agree. Michigan seems to has a little bit more firepower. And you mentioned the guard play of Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway Jr., but then you also have to mention Glenn Robinson III, too, who's probably the most NBA-ready of the three players, players on their team, too. And so this is a well-stocked roster that John Beilein has put together there in Michigan, doing a tremendous job. And the Big Ten, I tell you, they look like wusses on the football field, but they really look like the best basketball conference in basketball right now in college hoops. So, yeah, I give Michigan a lot of credit. I really like Kansas ball club, too. They got some nice size on their team. Ben McLemore might be the number one pick in the NBA draft. And I know we're going to, before we really start covering NBA mock drafts, we'll cover NFL football mock drafts. But my early scouting has been McLemore as the number one player in the NBA draft. And so, Kansas, he's got long arms, got an athletic NBA body already, about 6'5". So he's the type of player that could possibly carry Kansas all the way to the end. But I think overall, Michigan's still the number one team.
How would you compare your guys?
Who is this?
Your Kansas guy, Ben McLemore. Who would be a good comparison for him?
I would
now,
probably compare him to a younger Ray Allen. If you recall, when Ray Allen first came in the league, he was a great shooter and great athlete as well. And I think McLemore is the same kind of player. He's about 6'5", same height as Ray Allen, long arms, can really shoot the ball, very athletic. And this guy's a redshirt freshman, so he's been in college for 2 years. And he didn't play last year. So just think how good this Kansas team could have been last year with him, with Thomas Robinson and that team that went to the national championship game. But this kid, as of now, would be my number one pick in the draft. Of course, you have Shabazz Muhammad, who I think is climbing the charts as well. And, of course, we have the Zeller kid, Cody Zeller from Indiana. Those, as of right now, are my top three players. If they all come out, would be my top three players in the NBA draft. As of right now, we still have a long way to go in that department.
McLemore, is he a junior, if I'm not mistaken?
He's a redshirt freshman.
He's that young, man. Okay, I don't know if he was – I know you said he missed a year. Okay, I didn't realize if he had a good year.
Yeah, last year he was there, but he didn't play, so they redshirted him.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Okay, I was thinking something else. Good deal. Interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that for certain. All right, let's jump into, we're kind of going back and forth here, but we're going to stay in the college world. Let's talk about some college football recruiting, and we're going to talk about some early leaders. No surprise who's number one, and that is Alabama. But is there anyone that you want to highlight, Rob, or any particular school that you think is doing a great job in their recruiting so far?
Well, I'll tell you this. Actually, I don't have Alabama even in the top five. I mean, they could wind up in the top five before it's all said and done. But right now I have the Michigan Wolverines. We talked about them, their basketball program. But right now I have them number one in recruiting. And so far as commitments is concerned, and I'll just kind of run down my quick top five teams as far as recruiting as of today, as of tonight. We're going to talk about the Michigan Wolverines. Right now they have the number one running back committed to them in the country, Derrick Green, 5'11", 220 pounds, out of Richmond, Virginia. Stud running back. is going to be really help them on a ground game. They even have a top-notch quarterback that's coming as well, and Shane Morris, who's right in your backyard out of Michigan. Big, tall quarterback. May go back to a more pro-style offense, 6'3", 205 pounds. And then another guy, you have safety, DeMonte Thomas from Ohio, 6'1", 180 pounds. The only thing Michigan could still use in this recruiting class is some wide receivers. They can really use a little bit more help in that department. And if they can steal a great wide receiver or two in this last week here, they will really solidify themselves as a number one class in this. Number two, I have Notre Dame. Notre Dame has secured just going over some highlight players. Of course, we can't go through all the players. And number two, Notre Dame, they have the number one outside linebacker in the country, Jalen Smith out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Indiana normally does not produce a lot of top-notch football players, but they got one right in their backyard from Fort Wayne to go to Notre Dame, 6'3", 225 pounds. This guy can drop back and cover. He can also rush the passer. This is a guy that NFL scouts are already looking at, and he hasn't even played a down in college. Once again, he's a number one outside linebacker prospect in high school right now, going to Notre Dame. Also great Notre Dame, got an explosive offensive weapon, running back Greg Bryant, 5'10", 210 out of Delray Beach, Florida. This guy is maybe in the spiller mode from Buffalo. He's got that kind of explosion out of the backfield. And so look out for him improving that Notre Dame offense. And Texas A&M, I tell you what, this is a program that I think people are going to really pay attention to. Kevin Sumlin is doing a phenomenal job. And I tell you, when you see these wide receivers they have coming next year, remember the name Ricky Seals-Jones, the number one wide receiver prospect in the country, 6'5", 220, out of Sealy, Texas. He picked Texas A&M over LSU. Of course, we're still hurting over that one. This guy can come in and play right away. And then also they have Derek Griffin, another 6'6 wide receiver, 215 pounds out of Rosenberg, Texas. I'll tell you, Johnny Football is going to have some twin towers that he can throw the football out, and these guys are going to play as true freshmen when they enroll at Notre Dame here in the fall. And also they got a couple of quarterbacks. Of course, there could be some talk of Johnny Manziel could leave early. So Kevin Sumlin went out and signed a couple of quarterbacks, 6 foot, 205-pounder, Kenny Hill out of Salt Lake, Texas, and Cole Stewart, 6'2", 190 out of Houston. So he went ahead and solidified his quarterback position. Number four, Ohio State. Urban Meyer is doing it on a recruiting trail already. He's got the number nine running back in the country, Ezekiel Elliott, 6 foot, 200-pounder out of St. Louis. Strong running back class in high school football, the senior group here. Any other year, Ezekiel Elliott would probably be in the top five running back, but in this group, he's number nine. Another linebacker the NFL scouts are already raving about, Mike Mitchell, 6'4", 225 pounds out of Plano, Texas. He has the NFL size and speed all ready to play, going to Ohio State. And I think Urban Meyer has got him a Percy Harvin clone that's going to be coming there that he had at Florida. He's going to have one that's coming to Ohio State. Jalen Marshall, 6'1", 190 pounds out of Middletown, Ohio. So great job of Urban Meyer there. And last but not least, in our top five, in my top five, that is, the LSU Fighting Tigers. And LSU got a commitment from five-star defensive tackle Greg Gilmore, 6'5", 290, out of Hope Mills, North Carolina. LSU's got to replace a lot of defensive linemen, so they went out and secured a lot of commitments on the defensive line. Frank Heron, 6'5", 270-pound defensive end, out of Memphis, Tennessee. Both of those guys are five-star recruits. And Andre has always criticized LSU for never having a quarterback, so he went out and signed two, and hopefully at least one of them works. Hayden Reddick, 6'4", 205 out of Los Angeles, pro-style quarterback, the third-ranked QB coming out of high school, and also a dual-threat quarterback out of Marietta, Georgia, Anthony Jennings, 6'2", 202 pounds. So LSU did secure two commitments from two quarterbacks, and we desperately need at least one of them to work.
Now, let me actually put this on the record. I wasn't saying that you guys were bad. I was just curious as far as that your last season quarterback has been Jamarcus Russell, so I was trying to figure out what's been going on with that particular position. So, you know,
well,
that's all.
You can throw Matt Flynn in the mix. You know, he's in the NFL, you know, started some games and won a national title. And, you know, I think, you know, he should get a little bit more credit. I still think he's capable of being somebody starting quarterback in the NFL. That's just my personal thoughts.
Gotcha. Like I said, it's not a knock for it by any means. Like I said, look at that, folks. You got to enjoy that. Look at Robert Ford. He did some homework. Good job, sir, as always. Very impressed with everything put in as far as the recruiting process. And, yeah, that's what it's all about. So we're going to look forward to that as the season goes along. And I know we give the Big Ten a lot of grief, but Urban Meyer, I think, is going to do some things in that league, Rob. I know it's kind of at this juncture we kind of give him a hard time, but I think Urban is kind of on the right track, especially he's getting all these great recruits, especially from the state of Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you just went over my top five thus far, and obviously signing day is next Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. That could change by then. But obviously we have two teams in the top five from the Big Ten, Michigan number one,
Michigan,
Ohio State number four. And two SEC schools, Texas A&M and LSU. And actually, I did have Alabama at number six if we would have went that far as well, as far as recruiting thus far. And so SEC and Big Ten, and, of course, Notre Dame at number two right now recruiting. And but Michigan and Ohio State, they look like they have a pretty bright future with their programs at the moment.
Gotcha. Got about 4 minutes left in the show. And real quick, I'm going to talk about
the time goes fast.
It does go by extremely fast. Let's talk about the hoax. I'm sick of talking about Manti Te'o. I do think it affected his gameplay for sure. He seemed distracted, obviously, during the game, as well as the whole Notre Dame defense. But that's me. That's my two cents, excuse me. And I want to move on to some NBA talk if you get a second. So you can comment on that, Rob, if you want, sir.
Well,
I'm going to leave that on you.
No problem. We can move through that right now. I totally agree with you. I think it did affect his play. I mean, obviously, when we were watching the game at the time, we didn't know that aspect. I didn't know what was happening behind the scenes at the moment. But he did not look like the same player he had looked like all season. And I just can't imagine a player of his caliber being scared to play the game. But he looked scared to play that game, and I would definitely think that he had to be bothered by the hoax as well. And those two people we're tired of talking about, Tim Tebow and Manti Te'o on the show.
You did it, Rob. Somebody owes us some money because you said Tebow during the show. Man, moving right along. Here in Atlanta, controversial issue, Josh Smith, and word on the street is that there's a possibility of him being traded. Josh came out and said, I am a max player. Now, I'm going to throw this to you, Rob, because in Atlanta, you know, maybe we have a different view. So give us your thoughts. Do you think that Josh Smith is a max time player? Any player is dumb if he's not going to say, I deserve the most money. But what are your opinions of this, Rob?
This is a tough one. I'm going to say he's slightly beneath the max player. And I will say this. I think the last few years, Josh Smith was the best player on the Hawks team, where I think a lot of people would say Gio Johnson was the best player on the team. But in my opinion, Josh Smith offered so many other things outside of his scoring. He played defense, he blocked shots, he rebounds, steals, and you know, he just caused so much havoc with his size and his length and things of that nature. And that's why I always felt like he was the team's best player. But in my observation this year, I think his game is going backwards a little bit. And I don't think he's the same player that he has been the last two or three years for the Hawks. And that's the main reason. I think if you'd asked me this question last year, I would have said yes. But this year, my answer would be no. I think he's slightly beneath the max player. Just my thoughts.
I agree. I'm going to throw two other players out and give you your thoughts. We have 2 minutes. These players are max players. James Harden.
Well, I think James Harden has proven that he is a max player. He's having a phenomenal year. And, you know, based on the way he's playing, I think, you know, out of all the players in the NBA this year, I think James Harden is playing like the fifth best player in the league this year. And that's, you know, that's pretty serious. I mean, right now, I mean, I have, you know, Kevin Durant 1, LeBron 2, Chris Paul 3. And, you know, I have James Harden at number 5. And that's pretty – That's pretty high company the way he's playing this year. I would definitely say he's definitely earned that max contract.
One more, we're wrapping up real quick, and I'm not going to say Dwight Howard. I'm going to go with Carmelo Anthony.
This is a I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. Carmelo is a pure scorer. You know, he may still have some deficiencies on the defensive end, but I don't think there are too many better scorers in the